Chapter 17. The New Wound. Back in Yarmouth, Ham had become quite a hero to his neighbors since Emily left. It seemed there was no job too dangerous for Ham. I had my suspicion about what drove the young man to his heroic actions, but I kept them to myself. The day before the ship was to sail for Australia, I received horrifying news. A terrible storm had struck Yarmouth just days after Mrs. Gummidge left to join Mr. Peggotty and Emily for the voyage. The villagers rushed to the shore. They knew such a terrible storm could swamp boats and cause shipwrecks. The storm was worse than any could remember. A small ship was caught in the pounding sea that drove it relentlessly toward the rocks of the shoreline. The villagers watched in horror as waves passed over the decks again and again, washing away sailors. Finally, the last three men on the ship lashed themselves to the mast, but even that could not save them. A massive wave passed over the ship, and then there was just one man left aboard. The waves drove the ship onto the rocks not far from shore. In the pounding sea, no one could get out to the boat, though everyone could see the young man battered again and again as the waves rushed over the rails. Ham insisted that he would swim out to the ship and get the young sailor. The villagers tied a stout rope to his middle, and all the men held the end. The sea could not take Ham away, but the pounding was too much even for the strong young shipbuilder. Ham drowned, and the villagers dragged his limp body to shore. The sea broke up the small ship and killed the young sailor as well. When his body washed ashore, it was identified by papers carried in his coat pockets. The young sailor was Steerforth. I couldn't bear to tell Mr. Peggotty and Emily. I could see hope for the first time on Emily's face. I couldn't put out that small light. They would know soon enough, so I joined the crowd of well-wishers and saw the ship leave. I hoped Australia would bring each of them what they most needed. I wished that the passing of the young man I had so admired as a child and the strong hero with the lion's heart were the last deaths I knew, but that was not to be. My own dear Dora grew thinner and thinner. She asked me to send for Agnes so they might visit.
I was too young to be a very good wife, Dora told me on the night of Agnes's visit.
We have been very happy, my sweet Dora, I said.
I was very happy, very, she said softly. But I am glad you haven't had time to grow tired of such a silly child wife.
Never, I said. I will always love you.
She kissed me. And I love you. It is the only thing of value I have except being pretty. Remember always that I could not have been loved better than I was by you. Now, go downstairs a bit and let me visit with Agnes again.
I walked down and sat by the fire. Jip crawled out of his house and looked at me. He licked my hand and lifted his dim eyes to my face. I rubbed his ears, still soft despite the gray in his coat. Then he stretched himself out as if to sleep, and with a small cry, he died. I stood and looked toward the stairs where Agnes was coming down. What would I tell Dora about Jip? She was so very weak. Then I saw the tears and grief on Agnes's face.
Agnes, I said, just before I fainted.